Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Experience Shabbat Shir, and this week we are speaking about the topic of Tosefes Shabbos, of adding on extra time to Shabbos. And the reason I was speaking about this is because last week we ended off by saying the incredible idea that Adam HaRishon, if only he would have accepted Shabbos early, if only he would have been Makabel Tosefes Shabbos, he would have just basically started Shabbos from the moment that he was created, then he would have been able to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he would have been able to eat from the Tree of Knowledge immediately, and there would never have been any sin. But since he specifically ate from the tree before he accepted Shabbos, that's how the sin came to be, and that's how human history was permanently changed. An incredible idea. And so it seems like Tosefes Shabbos, the notion of adding onto Shabbos, is at the core of understanding what the sin of Adam HaRishon was all about, and recognizing that Tosefes Shabbos is truly crucial, that each and every one of us should be trying to make sure that we are accepting Shabbos a little bit earlier and adding onto Shabbos a little bit every single week. It's important to note, we'll spell it out a little bit later as well. Tosefes Shabbos sometimes is a little confusing to people. They think, oh, so I'm going to add on to Shabbos in the front end, but there's also a notion to add on to Shabbos in the back end as well. You should begin Shabbos a little early, and you should end Shabbos a little bit later. How much time you have to add, we'll speak about that in just a few moments, but you have to add on to the beginning and on the end. The notion is that you want to run into Shabbos, and you want to slowly walk out of Shabbos. So where does the notion of Tosefes Shabbos come from? So it's actually rooted in Gemara in Yoma, and Pei Aleph Amud Beis, having nothing to do with Shabbos. The Gemara specifically is only talking about Yom Kippur at first, and we learn that there is an idea of adding on to Yom Kippur itself, that we like to extend Yom Kippur, start it a little bit early, and maybe end it a little bit later. And the Gemara then makes the following comment, as when it comes to Yomim Tovim and Shabbosos, Minayin, where do we know that we also have to do Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yontif with these days? Tam Lomar, the Pasuk says, Shiftechem. So the fact that the Pasuk says, you shall rest, HaKetzad, what is this teach us? What does this mean? It means kol makom shenemar shavus, any time where the Torah says that one should rest, mechol ala kodesh. It means that one should be adding from the profane, from the profane, to they should be making it more sanctified. So anytime you have a holiday or you have a Shabbos, you should be making it more holy. Now the root and the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos is one that is highly questioned, and that is, what kind of a mitzvah is it? Is it a d'oraisa? Is it a d'rabbanan? Is it not a mitzvah at all? And the answer is yes, all of the above. There is a huge machlokas among many of the mafarshim as to what the nature of this mitzvah is. We have to start the conversation after that Gemara. The next logical step is to go to the Rambam, because the Rambam probably, as the Rambam often does, has an opinion that sometimes can shake up an entire sugya, and this is one of those times where his opinion totally shakes everything up, because the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Shvisas Asor in Perak Aleph Halacha Vav, he says, "V'tzarech lehosif mechol al hakodesh b'chnisaso v'yisiaso." When it comes to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur only, we'll see, and one has the obligation to add on to the beginning and add on to the end. How do you know this? Shenemar, the pasuk says regarding Yom Kippur, "V'inisim es nafsho seichem b'tisha lachodesh ba'erev," that you should afflict your souls on the ninth of the month in the evening. So what does it mean? That means skolmar haschel atzumu his anos me'erev tisha hasamach lasi. That means that one has to begin afflicting themselves and has to begin fasting on the ninth of the month of Tishrei before Yom Kippur properly starts. You should begin the fasting and the affliction before the proper fast begins. The Magid Mishnah, one of the famous commentaries in the Rambam, says, what does this mean? What is the Rambam talking about over here? He says, "Midivrei Rabbeinu nir'eh she'ein tosefes davar Torah ela bi'inoy." The only time when we have a notion of a Torah obligation to do tosefes anything is when it comes to afflicting ourselves on Yom Kippur. Avalo ba'asiyas malacha, nothing to do with the prohibition of doing malacha. We know that we can't do malacha on Yom Kippur. There's no notion, there's no Torah concept of stopping to do malacha a little earlier on Yom Kippur, just that you should stop eating and you should stop anointing yourself and doing all those things. You should stop that a little bit on the ninth, but when it comes to malacha, you can do that all the way up until, I guess, sunset. And then he writes, lo b'yom kippur v'lo b'shabbosos. Not only does the notion of Tosefes Shabbos not apply to the prohibition of doing malacha on Yom Kippur, but it also doesn't apply to Shabbos as well. V'zehu shakasav maschir latsum ul hisanos. V'zehu shalon yiskar b'dvarav b'hilchos Shabbos Tosefes Klal Mana Torah. And unbelievably, the Magen Mishnah says that according to the Rambam, there is no Torah commandment to do any sort of Tosefes Shabbos whatsoever when it comes to Shabbos and seemingly to Yantav as well, because it doesn't appear anywhere in the Rambam's Hilchos Shabbos. The only time we ever have any concept of Tosefes, of an addition of anything appearing, is in the Rambam's Hilchos Yom Kippur, essentially right over here, when he says you have to afflict yourselves a little bit earlier on the 9th, but no notion of any sort of extra Tosefes, anything, anywhere else in the Rambam. And so where do all the other Rishonim fall into this? So the truth is that many of the early commentators do believe that Tosefes Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It is a Torah commandment, not just for Yom Kippur, but for Shabbos and for Yontif as well. And those people are the Rif, the Rush, and the Ran, some of the very famous commentators. They believe that it is a Torah commandment to keep Tosefes Shabbos, which again means that you should add on to the beginning and add a little bit on the end. The Meiri was one of the famous opinions who holds that it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, that it's just a rabbinic commandment. Again, not to downplay a rabbinic commandment, but a rabbinic commandment is a little bit less than a Torah commandment, but still equally valuable that one should be doing all the rabbinic commandments. And then finally, the Magen Mishnah seems to be explaining that the Rambam's opinion is that there is no commandment whatsoever of Tosefes Shabbos or Tosefes Yantav. There's only something called Tosefes Yom Kippur that applies to afflicting yourselves a little bit earlier on. So how do we paskin? Where do we fall into all this? Well, certainly we believe it's a mitzvah, whether or not it's a Torah mitzvah or a rabbinic mitzvah. We probably believe it's a Torah mitzvah because the majority of the Mefarshim of the Rishonim seem to believe that it was a mitzvah from the Torah. So the Shulchan Aruch actually codifies this, and he says that there's a mitzvah to add from the chol onto the kodesh, that one should start Shabbos a little bit earlier and end Shabbos a little bit later. And the phraseology of the Shulchan Aruch is a little bit unclear, because it sounds like he's saying that you should start from Shkia, and so his language is not totally clear, so you have to go to the Mishnah Berurah. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that one should start Shabbos 20 to 30 minutes before Shkia, 20 to 30 minutes before sunset. That's when everyone should be starting Shabbos to accept upon this mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. Now, everyone here, immediately, if you know anything, if you know a lot about Tosefes Shabbos, then you know where I'm going to go with this. If you know a little bit, but not that much, then you're probably very confused. Because the Mishnah Berurah says you should add 20 or 30 minutes before sunset. That's when you should start Shabbos. But what happened to the 18 minutes? Everyone knows, no, the holy 18 minutes that we have. You light the candles. When is candle lighting before Shabbos? Or you have to, if it's always 18 minutes before sunset. So how come the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say you should start Shabbos 18 minutes before? I thought that was the magical number. So the answer is that there's an old custom for women to light candles before Shabbos, 18 minutes specifically before. How do they get to that? It's a little bit beyond the nature of the shir, but basically it's a translation of a certain measurement of walking, that it would take 18 minutes to walk a certain length of a distance. So that's why women start Shabbos 18 minutes before, ideally, by lighting the candles. But there are those who say that 18 minutes has nothing to do with men whatsoever. True, if a man is lighting candles, then I guess he would follow that same 18 minutes as well, perhaps. But a man who his wife, let's say, is lighting candles, and he is not lighting candles, or even a man who is lighting candles, who was not part of that original acceptance of the 18 minutes, quote-unquote, of all the women, then according to the Mishnah Berurah, you should accept Shabbos 20 to 30 minutes before. 30 minutes would be the ideal in the Mishnah Berurah's mind. 20 minutes would be less than ideal. What is the absolute minimum? If someone says, I want to keep Tosefes Shabbos, then how many minutes should they keep? So, again, it's a very, very long discussion, but the long story short is that Rav Moshe Feinstein seemed to be of the opinion that Tosefes Shabbos, if you want to say that you're significantly adding on to your Shabbos, it can't just be like 10 seconds, because, I mean, it's a joke. You know, no one, unless you're a little, unless you're a bit of a daredevil, no one's going to wait until the last second to start Shabbos. So everyone, you know, to the last second right before sunset, so everyone is doing Tosefes Shabbos if you don't have any sort of measurement. So it says Rav Moshe, 2 minutes. 2 minutes is the minimum amount of time. So in other words, if Shabbos starts at 6:02 p.m., you should start Shabbos at 6 p.m. to show that you are accepting Shabbos early. So in other words, if sunset, again, is at 6:02, you start at 6 o'clock. This would also be true on the other end as well, that if Shabbos is supposed to end at 7 o'clock, then you should keep it going until 7:02. And that's how one would fulfill their obligation of Tosefes Shabbos. Now, how does one accept upon themselves Shabbos? How does one go about fulfilling the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos? It's like the most passive of all mitzvahs. So we know that when it comes to Shabbos, for example, whether we like it or not, Shabbos comes. Meaning if the time comes, if sunset comes, then it's Shabbos already and we don't have any say in the matter. So what about 2 minutes before that, when we're saying you should accept Tosefes Shabbos? How does one do that? So according to the majority of the poskim, one should actually make a verbal declaration of sorts by saying that I hereby accept upon myself the Kedusha of Shabbos. Many others believe that you can actually accept Tosefes Shabbos upon yourself by by saying the words of Kabbalah Shabbos, but you have to be careful, because not many times in our shul, we're already saying Kabbalah Shabbos once Shkia has passed. So if you really want to fulfill the obligation of Tosefa Shabbos in the most pristine way possible, you should find yourself a few minutes before Shabbos, when you are ready to accept Shabbos, and you should say those words. Again, don't say those words before you get in the car to drive to shul. That would not be good for anyone, but you should say, because that means you'd be driving on Shabbos, but you should make sure to say those words as best as you can a few minutes before sunset, so that you shouldn't actually be accepting this mitzvah upon yourself. It's a very passive mitzvah, but most of the poskim agree that you should be able to verbalize that you are accepting it on yourself. With all of that as the background, as the basic halachic mechanism for how Tosefa Shabbos works, how are we to understand the actual nature and the essence of what Tosefa Shabbos is? Like, what is it? Is it just that I want to make sure that I don't violate any of the malachos of Shabbos, right? We know that when it comes down to it, of course, we have our fancy, we have myzmanim.com, and we have other resources to tell us, how to figure out exactly when Shabbos starts, when the sun is, 34 degrees above the horizon. We can go online and figure all that stuff out. But at the end of the day, that was not usually the case for most of Jewish history. So is Tosefa Shabbos just about protecting ourselves to make sure that we're not violating any malacha on Shabbos? Or is there perhaps a deeper level? That's going to be the central question. And the truth is that there is, of course, two perspectives on this. There is the perspective that seems to be displayed by Rashi in last week's Parsha. The Pasuk says that Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i, that on the seventh day Hashem finished then on the seventh day Hashem finished doing all of the work, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he was doing. And all the mafarshim jump on this. What does that mean? Hashem finished doing all the work on the seventh day? I thought he didn't do any work on the seventh day. Did he rest on the seventh day, or did he finish doing the work on the seventh day? If you finished doing the work on the seventh day, that means you probably did 10 minutes or 20 minutes of work on the Shabbos itself. So did Hashem work or rest on Shabbos? Did he spend the entire day resting, or did he do a little work? So that's the major question, and Rashi makes the point over here. What is the nature of Hashem's approach to Shabbos versus a human approach to Shabbos? So he writes as follows. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Basar Adam, She'eno Yodia Itav Uragav, Tzarich Lehosif Mechol HaKodesh. Human beings who can never tell exactly what the time is, even with our fancy myzmanim and all the fancy mechanisms that we can use to determine what the time is, even nowadays, we can never get things exactly to the second. It's just not, we're not computers, we're not robots, we don't have the ability to determine time mamash to the millisecond. So since we're never able to do that, we always accept Shabbos upon ourselves early. We don't start on Shabbos on the seventh day of the week, we start Shabbos basically at the end of the sixth day of the week to make sure we're really keeping the whole entire of the seventh day. But it says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyodea Itav Uragav, Hashem, he knows the every single millisecond. He can track it in the same way that we can imagine L'havdil Alfei Havdalos, the same way we can imagine a computer tracking every single second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that same capability, and more so. So Nichnas Bo Kechut HaSa'ara, he can get into Shabbos within the thinness of a hair. Like that's how accurate he can be with the time. Unireh Ki'ilu Kila Bo Vayom, and it looks like almost that Hashem finished working on Shabbos itself, because Shabbos started at 7 o'clock and 23 seconds. He stopped working at 7 o'clock and 22 and a half seconds. So he was so accurate. So if you're not really paying attention, it looks like he worked on Shabbos, but he really did not do any work on Shabbos. And then Rashi writes a little bit more, so we're not going to get into that now, actually, because it's not so relevant. But that's what Rashi expresses, that Tosefa Shabbos, for us, we do it seemingly because we're just concerned that we're going to come to violate Shabbos because we can't get the time perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, who can get the time perfect, he did not need to start Shabbos a little bit early. He started Shabbos exactly on the dot. Now, this Chakira, this question as to whether or not Tosefa Shabbos is just about the fear of violating malacha, or if it's more, maybe it's about adding kedusha, or maybe it's about doing the other mitzvahs of Shabbos, adding all the other mitzvahs earlier on. This appears in Rav Herschel Schechter's Sefer Nefesh HaRab, in which he writes significantly about many of the opinions and the ideas of Rabbi Soloveitchik, and he writes as follows. Do we have time? We have a little bit of time. The debate is not just yet, so let's read it quickly. So he writes as follows. B'tshuvas meshiv davar dan b'isha shehidlika es hanerus miva'od yom be'erev yom tov v'kibla alatz matosef es yom tov. He talks about a woman who there was a woman who lit yantif candles. Let's say it was Sukkot. She lit the yantif candles before Sukkot, and she said, you know what? You know, I had such an exhausting week and getting ready for Sukkot, decorating the sukkah, whatever, building the sukkah. So I'm going to accept yantif now 15 minutes early. 30 minutes before sunset. So fine. So she lights candles. Beautiful. She's just enjoying herself already. The calmness of the yantif sets in. V'achar kach, well, you know, kibla. After that, she receives telegrama. She received a telegram. Kodem hashkia, before sunset actually came in. Hamodia almos echad mikroveha. She received the telegram that her father had just passed away. 5 minutes before sunset, that's when she got the telegram. So let's track this. It's before sunset, so technically, according to everyone else, it's not really the holiday already, but she already accepted upon herself the holiday. So what happens now? Here are the options. Either she doesn't do anything, it's sad, but she can't even express that sadness because it is the chag, or since Tosefes Shabbos maybe, or Tosefes Yantif really isn't Yantif per se, so therefore maybe she could take her shoes off, she could do 5 minutes of Shiva, and then the Yantif will cancel out her Shiva. Those are her options. Either she'll end up having no Shiva at all because the Yantif will cancel it out because she'll sit Shiva for 5 minutes before, or she is not allowed to sit Shiva yet and she'll have to push off the Shiva until all the way after Sukkot. So says says Rav Shechter, v'hisir na'aleha me'al ragleha. She actually took off her shoes, linhog kitzas ba'avelas. She decided that, you know what, I'm gonna do my avelas now. Shiva kodem kinesas yom tov. So she's gonna get to do her avelas beforehand. So v'hashela ahi, and the question is, says the Rav, im hayom tov mevatel shiva b'kiyai gabna olo, will the yontif end up nullifying the shiva in this situation or not, right? Because she wasn't thinking. She had, again, accepted yantif already, but it wasn't shkia yet. So she decides that she's going to do a velus without realizing the complexity of the question. She does a velus for 5 minutes, taking her shoes off, showing that she's doing some level of mourning. Yantif then officially starts, sunset passes. So the question is, does the yantif nullify all of the shiva, or does she have to sit shiva again for real after yantif? So says the Rav, Ulo Rabbeinu Nireh, Shenekuda Sasefik Bazeh, He Im Tosefes Yantif, Chala Rak Lagabe Isuri Malacha, O Af Lagabe Kol Shar Mitzvos Hayom. And says the Rav that the question really comes down to our question. When it comes to adding on to Yantif, or in theory adding on to Shabbos as well, is adding on, is Tosefes Shabbos, is it about the prohibition of Malacha, or is it about doing the rest of the mitzvos of the day as well, which will, for our purposes, we'll interpret that as also adding on to the Kedusha of Shabbos. He says, if she really accepted upon herself yantif, not just the prohibition of malacha, but everything that it entails to accept upon herself yantif, if she did that already, which includes, by the way, as we spoke about so much on Sukkot, the mitzvah of being besimcha, of being happy on Sukkot, so if she accepted upon all that already, and that really counts before sunset for her, then when she took off her shoes, it was meaningless, so she couldn't actually have done real avelus. Dinio gavelus biyom tov bezman shekayem es mitzvah simcha ein bo kiyum shel klum. If you take off your shoes when you're obligated in the mitzvah of simcha, you take off your shoes to show you're doing avelus, then it doesn't actually count because you've already accepted upon yourself the obligation of simcha, so you can't do anything for avelus. Vein hayom tov mevatel avelus to shiva, and therefore the yantif would not nullify her 7 days of sitting shiva. Ela imkin kvar hischil ha'avil min ho kizas b'ni ho gevelus mi ba'od yom, unless she actually found it earlier in the day, before she accepted yantif upon herself. If she would have found out in the morning and she then did, you know, a few hours of avelus, then it would have counted. V'nira, so says the Rav, l'hochiach derech zeh mehagmar brachos, the Rebbe Tzeli shel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos, v'gam amar az bezman ha-tosefes es kiddush hayom. Hare lehadjeh, so the Rav, so Rabbi Rav Shechter writes further about the Rav's opinion, that at the end of the day, what do we assume from this Gemara? Hare lehedje de Tosefes Shabbos shemekabla mechayavis lorak b'esr melacha. When a person is mekabla Shabbos, when a person accepts Shabbos or Yantif a little bit early, it's not just that you accept upon yourself the prohibition to do melacha, ela af b'chol mitzvos hayom. You also accept upon yourself all the commandments of the day. And therefore, in this situation, for this woman who decided to keep start Yantif a little bit early, and she thought that she can get away with doing 5 minutes of Shiva and that will be it, so this woman was not allowed to have done that. Therefore, she had to sit Shiva after Yontif in entirety, because it wasn't nullified before Yontif. But what we see from here, and the whole point of this very interesting halakha question, was ultimately realizing that Tosefes Shabbos is not just about the concern of violating malacha. It's also about the additional kedusha, the additional sanctity that you're adding on to the day, because you're saying, I don't want to just make sure I don't violate the malacha. I also want to keep more mitzvos earlier if I can. Shabbos starts at 6 o'clock. I want to start at 5:55 because I'm just so excited to do the mitzvos of Shabbos, to be able to be connected to Shabbos on a higher and a greater level, to connect to Hashem like that would be incredible. So it's not just about accepting because of a concern of violating malacha, according to this perspective from the Rav. It's also about the notion of accepting upon yourself the beauty of what everything that Shabbos has to offer and what it has to represent. I want to share one additional idea that comes from Rabbi Menachem Azariah of Fano. He writes as follows, that Hashem prepared the Shabbos meal for Adam on Friday while it was still daytime. Then he writes that Hashem wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of adding from the weekday to Shabbos, and so he did not perform any forbidden labor during the added period. Right? So if you were paying attention before, so Rashi had this perspective that evidently Hashem doesn't keep Tosefes Shabbos. He doesn't need Tosefes Shabbos. But when we say that Hashem doesn't need Tosefes Shabbos, that's only if you think Tosefes Shabbos is about the concern of, you know, not accepting it exactly at the right time, so you don't violate an Isser Malacha, so you don't violate any of the work on Shabbos. However, if you've used Tosefes Shabbos as this higher level of accepting the sanctity of Shabbos, then you would like to see that Hashem would have accepted it earlier. And according to this Rebbe over here, Hashem did accept Shabbos a little bit early, and that he made a meal for Adam HaRishon before Shabbos actually started, because Hashem too wanted to accept Shabbos. And we know, of course, as we've said many times, that, and as the Gemara says, that Mahu Afata, we always want to try to emulate Hashem, and therefore Hashem accepts Shabbos upon himself a little bit early, not because he needs to, because of the prohibition of Malacha, he doesn't need to do that, but because he wants to accept the sanctity of Shabbos a little bit earlier, and we should do the same thing. What, therefore, is the ultimate takeaway of Tosefes Shabbos? What does it have to teach us? What does it have to offer us? So I want to share one additional idea before I actually get to that question, and I know we're over time, but the debate has not started just yet, but we'll finish in just a minute, and that is that Avraham Shor, in his Halakach Va'alibav, shares one additional idea. I think I actually shared this at the end of Simchas Torah, but we'll say it again because it's just so relevant to now, and that is that he says that when it comes to Shabbos and when it comes to Yontif, the holiness of each day is significantly, fundamentally different. The holiness of Shabbos, we're so sad when it leaves us. That's why we make a bracha, b'reminei b'semem, we smell the spices right after Shabbos, because we're so sad that the holiness, that the Neshama Yisera, leaves us. It comes back next week, but it's going to leave us right now. The holiness of Yontif, we don't smell spices after Yontif. Why? Because the holiness of Yontif never leaves us. It comes to us on that holiday, and it never goes away. We get to keep it with us, and the whole question is what are we going to do with that holiness now that we have this extra injection of holiness? But perhaps I think Rav Avraham Shor suggests that when it comes to Tosefes Shabbos, if you accept upon yourself Shabbos a little bit earlier, then you maybe do get to keep that extra bit of holiness. So not only do you get to keep the holiness of Yontif with you, and that the holiness of Shabbos leaves you from week to week, but you actually get to keep the holiness of Shabbos if you accept Shabbos upon yourself a little bit early and you let it go on a little bit later as well. Ultimately, we understand already, we don't even need to spell it out, but we will briefly. What is the significance of Tosefes Shabbos? If you believe in anything of what Shabbos has to offer, if you believe in the beauty and the radiance and the absolute glory of what Shabbos is all about, being able to be closer to the Almighty, being able to have a stronger connection with Hashem, that's what this 24-25 hour period is about. How could someone not want to keep Tosefes Shabbos? It's like a slap in the face. Hashem saying, I'm here sitting with you, and now all you want to do is start Shabbos the last minute that you can, and you want to end Shabbos the first minute that you can? It's a crazy idea. We should be zocha to all keep Tosefes Shabbos this week and for every week, Mayav Esher until 120, to understand the true beauty of what it means to dwell with Hashem on Shabbos, and start that a little bit early and end just a little bit later. Everyone should have a beautiful night and a beautiful Shabbos.